Yesterday, the president was at the Department of Health and Human Services. Today, he's in Minnesota. He is here discussing the Medicare Prescription Drug Benefit Plan. And here to tell us more about what the president will say in Minnesota is his Secretary of the Health and Human Services Department, Mike Levin. Mr. Secretary, how are you?
Good morning. I'm well.
Appreciate you joining us today. Why is the president in Minnesota?
Well, this is important news for every American who's over 65 years of age. The president is speaking of the new Medicare prescription drug plan. Citizens are eligible for this plan if they're eligible for Medicare, and it will provide prescription drug coverage. There'll be multiple plans that they can pick from. The job of citizens now is to choose the one that's right for them.
I assume because the president's here talking about this and there seems to be an effort underway to get some awareness of when this program begins, that you anticipate some difficulty in getting seniors to sign up. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a lot of people to reach that we need to educate and help. This will be a massive effort over the next 11 months. Information will be available from Medicare, from state and local governments, from senior citizen organizations, from churches. There'll be lots of efforts made. There's a 1-800 number, 1-800-Medicare, and a website, medicare.gov, people can go to. This will be a matter of constant conversation over the next 11 months because there are 41 million Americans who have a decision they need to make.
This program begins on January 1st of 2006, so we're a ways out, and enrollment doesn't even begin until later this fall, correct?
We're beginning to inform people of it now because a certain portion of the population will need to determine if they qualify for essentially free coverage. If you're below 150% of the poverty level, then you will have essentially free coverage. Everyone else will have to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $37 a month.
And there is a program out now, I believe, that allows discounts for seniors through a drug card. How has that worked so far?
Well, that's been a good program, and the results have been good. This, however, is a great benefit, and I think the response will be very solid. I indicated that we're starting now, but people will be able to enroll beginning November the 15th, and then coverage will begin in January of 2006.
Best advice for folks is to watch their mailbox, basically, here?
Well, my advice is for them to start seeking information from many sources, and it will, in some respects, find them. We're trying to reach not just seniors, but we want to reach the children of seniors because we believe that many seniors will require some help in being able to look through this decision and make the right choice for them. So we're confident that conversations will take place at pharmacy counters with doctors, in church lobbies, at home with parents together trying to make decisions or with their children.
And again, anyone who's 65 and older and enrolled in Medicare is eligible, as well as younger people with disabilities covered by Medicare, correct?
That's correct. If you're covered by Medicare, then you are eligible. And the truth is this will save people money. If you're paying for your own prescription drugs now, it will be a very important thing for you. And the more need people have, the more help they'll get. There's a peace of mind that comes with knowing that you'll not have to have your savings exhausted because of prescription drugs. They're becoming so expensive, and this is a way in which we can give people that peace of mind.
When the food stamp program started, as well as when Medicaid itself started, I understand that fewer than a quarter of the eligible people had signed up after the first year of the program had passed. So there's some history here that this normally, when these new benefits come along, are difficult to get people enrolled in. So can you learn some lessons from the rollout of Medicaid and the food stamp program here?
Well, we're studying all of the programs that were rolled out in the past to learn what we can. And the first lesson we learned is start early. Begin to give people information. And we're confident that somewhere between 28 and 30 million people will enroll on this program in the first year. And that'll be a great success, and it will have changed the course of medical history, because this isn't just a prescription drug benefit. This is a change in the way we approach health care in the country. Rather than just focusing on treatment, we're now beginning to focus on prevention. The president often makes the point that we have been willing to spend $28,000 in Medicare to give someone an ulcer operation, but we weren't willing to give them $500 worth of medication that would have prevented it. That's the change here, is that we're going to begin to help people prevent illness as opposed to just treating it.
Yeah, his other example that he used yesterday when he was at your shop there was how Medicare in the past would pay, you know, $100,000 plus to treat the effects of a stroke, but not $1,000 for a blood thinning drug that could have prevented it in the first place. So it really is in need of reform, isn't it?
When I was at the Environmental Protection Agency, I learned an important lesson that it's easier to prevent pollution than it is to clean it up after. And that's the same thing that's true with health care. It's a lot better to prevent illness than it is to have to treat it later. And it's an important approach that will not just reduce the cost of health care, but it will prevent suffering.
What is the price tag of this? I know that some in Congress, I mean, there was two groups, one on the left that thought it was not a large enough benefit, some on the right that thought it would absolutely balloon federal spending. What do you see as the price tag here, and what about those two criticisms?
Well, it's important to realize we spend $1.7 trillion a year on health care in this country, and this is helping us begin to approach that $1.7 trillion with a bunch of prevention activity as opposed to just paying the bills for treatment. The cost is significant, but we think the long-term impact will be a savings.
And so you ultimately believe that this will not be the budget buster that some have suggested, and obviously that fight has passed and it's now the law of the land, but some had suggested prior to the debate on this and whether or not to add it as a benefit that it would balloon federal spending. You're not concerned about that?
It was a hard-fought political battle, but the decision's been made, and the heartening thing is that everyone's now joining together to make certain that it's rolled out well. I feel confident that it's a good expenditure of our money. It is an insurance program. People do have to contribute other than those that are in need of financial help, but the purpose here is to make certain that everyone has an opportunity to have prescription drugs and not have the threat of losing their savings because of health costs.
As part of the Social Security debate, some that have suggested that it's not wise to reform Social Security and proceed as the president has proposed, a private account plan to try and get folks to get some more return on their dollars, that the focus would be better placed on Medicare and that the solvency issue in Medicare is far worse than it is in Social Security. Is that true?
Well, there are challenges on all of the entitlement programs, Medicare being among them. The major challenge is that we have a large segment of our population, some 77 million people, that are moving toward retirement as baby boomers. That's going to be a challenge. The key to reforming Medicare, however, is to transform the health care system. And a key to transforming the health care system is to begin focusing on prevention, not just treatment. That's precisely what this Medicare Modernization Act of 2003 does.
Beyond the prescription drug benefit, and obviously that's why you want more and more people enrolled about this, and you're on the radio today telling people to make sure they help those eligible get the benefits due them, what else needs to be done? What else in the way of that transformation is yet to be done?
Well, I'd point to two other things, or three other things. The first is getting the incentives for the system right. A lot of the insurance plans that we use today don't make cost-conscious consumers of us. You can imagine if you sent someone into a grocery store and said, here's a shopping cart, buy all you want, and it doesn't matter what it costs, people would shop differently than if they were paying for part of it or had to be budgeting. That's true in health care as well. The result is predictable. Another problem is that the providers are paid simply on the basis of how much treatment they provide, not how well it works. Part of the solution will be beginning to provide incentives for the providers, hospitals, and others, not simply to just provide more, 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 but to get people to practice prevention. For example, obesity. If we're able to begin solving the problems of obesity, diabetes, and other chronic diseases won't occur. That's where the majority of our health care dollars are today, is in chronic diseases, things we have control over, things that we can manage. So getting the incentives right. And the third part, something that you'll hear a lot more about in the next couple of years, is information technology. The problem that every one of us experience when we walk into a clinic or a hospital or any other place, they hand us a medical clipboard, and we fill out the same information we've filled out time and time again. That's a symbol of the inefficiency that saturates the health business today. we can use health information technology to make it far more efficient.
So, and on the technology side, I've heard a lot about it. There's some initiatives out there that are getting some attention. Do you see that bringing some real dollars to the bottom line? Could that have a major impact on the finances of the healthcare system in America?
There are many economists who believe that there's up to 30% of our expenditures are unnecessary or duplicative, and 30% of $1.7 trillion is a lot of money.
Even in Washington, D.C., right?
Even in Washington, D.C.
And the other two things you talked about in the way of incentives, you know, I'm a big believer in health savings accounts. They work it better, it seems, in the private sector. How would you make incentives work in Medicare when, you know, essentially these folks are eligible for a federal benefit and they go to the doctor and everything's paid for?
Now let's talk about Medicaid for a minute. That's a health care for the poor and one of the fastest growing parts of the federal budget. We have offered a whole series of reforms that I hope that Congress will act on as soon as this fall. One provision, for example, would provide for people to have a copay when they get a service or some pharmaceutical. That just makes them conscious of what it costs. That has a real impact on causing people to be cost conscious.
Well, a good idea, but I can imagine the scream and the howls now from Congress, especially from some on the left, that will suggest that what you're doing is going to prevent people from getting health care because they won't be able to afford those copays. Even though I agree with you in premise that it's a good idea, politically, is that a tough sell?
Well, the states are leading the way on this one. Health care has become a bigger recipient of state dollars now than public education, and it's crowding out all of the other parts of their budget, and they're simply saying we can't go on like this. We've got to find ways of being able to constrain health care costs, and that's one idea.
Well, a final word to folks listening today throughout Minnesota and the Dakotas on the prescription drug benefit and reinforcing the president's message. What would you tell folks, Mr. Secretary?
I'd tell them just what the president did and will in Minnesota today. This is a good deal. Look into it.
When in doubt, fill it out.
When in doubt, fill it out. They'll save money and have the peace of mind that they will never have to worry about prescription drug costs eroding their savings.
All right. Good to catch up with you today. Appreciate the time very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Goodbye.
The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Mike Leavitt, our guest on Hot Talk. And by the way, the president today will talk about an 800 number where you can call with questions about the sign-up for the prescription drug program. It is 1-800-MEDICARE. Get much simpler than that. 1-800-MEDICARE. Or you can go online to Medicare.gov for answers.